living in his purpose. Here he is. He's thrown in a pit. He's sold into slavery. He's alone, completely alone. Does that sound like God's great purpose? Just before this, in verse 4, we're told that Joseph was hated by his brothers. It says they could not speak a kind word to him. They were so jealous that they'd completely rejected him, even before we got to this passage. But in today's passage, we see just how much they hated him. So much that they plotted to kill him. They stripped him. They threw him in a pit. Not only could they not say any kind words to him, that they were happy to resort to violence and bullying towards their own brother. Then they sold him, the ultimate rejection, demoted from his place in the family, ripped from all he knows, alone and vulnerable. Not only that, were then his brothers prepared to lie to the father about what had happened. They would keep up that lie for many, many years. They really hated him. They really rejected him. And when we read this passage, it just seems like this list of facts of what happened to Joseph, and there's not really any emotion in there, is there? There's no description of how this made Joseph feel. But let's bear in mind that Joseph in this passage is a teenager. He's probably around about 17. Can you imagine for a 17-year-old teenager just the feelings that that would evoke? We know that that's the time when often we're developing our identity, who we are, and he's just suffering this massive rejection. When I was a teenager, I had a pretty rough time in secondary school. I'd been quite popular in primary school and had lots of friends, but I got to secondary school and really the bottom line is I just weren't quite cool enough. I probably thought I was cooler than what I was, and so I was kind of trying to keep up with my friends. And now looking back, I know that I was a total geek, and I'm completely happy with that. I probably still am. But for that period of life as a teenager, I ended up pretty friendless for most of secondary schools. I felt rejected constantly. No one really had any kind words to say to me. And I wasn't physically bullied like Joseph was. There wasn't any... no one was stripping me, throwing me in a pit, hitting me, anything like that. But that sense of... the immersion of that sense of rejection was just... like overwhelming, horrendous a lot of the time. I spent a lot of those years crying every night, like self-examination, why is this happening to me? What's going on with this? What have I done wrong? And that turns into then self-hatred of like, I must be this terrible, horrible person because no one wants to be my friend. And then anger towards other people, towards myself and towards God. God, why? Why is this happening to me? And so I can identify totally with how what Joseph might have been going through at this time, that utter sense of rejection by everyone he knows. And that was, my family were my rock during that time, but this is his family who were rejecting him. This is just an absolutely horrendous time for Joseph. Both before he got thrown in the pit, actually, because his brothers were already being pretty horrendous to him, and after. But for me, I recognise that time now, looking back, as a real time where God worked in me and prepared me. It taught me a lot about relying on God, about the importance of reading the Bible, standing on God's word, prayer, importance of church family who stood around me at that time. It gave me a real sense of a justice and an identification with people who were lonely and rejected. And I really believe that if I hadn't gone through that at that time, I wouldn't be the person that I am now that God's called me to be. And I believe that this is the same for Joseph. God did have a plan and a purpose for him, but he needed some preparation. And actually, this bit of the story is just the beginning of 13 years of preparation in Joseph's life. And we're going to look at some of the rest of that season of preparation over the next couple of weeks. But the truth was, at 17-year-old, God had given Joseph a purpose, but he just wasn't ready yet to fulfill it. And actually, it wasn't even time for him to fulfill it yet. He couldn't fulfill it because that came later, when a different time in history, when there was famine and when he was able to save save his family and the people of God. He didn't even know really what that dream that God had given him meant. He'd only got a glimpse and an idea of it. He hadn't got the detail. And it's worth bearing that in mind, actually, when God gives us a sense of purpose and what he's calling us to, that it happens in his timing. And so if you felt something that you felt God has said to you about what he wants you to do and it's not happened yet, it can be frustrating, that is. But actually, often it's just that we've misunderstood the timing of that, and that it's still to come, and God's got something still, some work still to do in us to prepare us ready for something. But he gives us that glimpse, so we've got something to fix our eyes on and hope for. And that's what had happened with Joseph. God was preparing him. He wasn't ready. And for those of you who know the story of Joseph, that might seem obvious that he wasn't ready. After all, his brothers, they didn't just hate him just because of it. Just naturally, he'd done some pretty bad stuff, and they hated him for some reasons. He was judgmental. He was self-seeking. He was full of pride. Often that comes from our lack of security, but we elevate ourselves because we want to feel better about ourselves. But he also had a lack of wisdom. He boasted to his brothers about the dreams that he'd been given, that Dave spoke to us about last week, even though he knew that his brothers hated him and that they were jealous of him. He still boasted. That didn't show much wisdom, did it? That's not going to help them like him more. And actually, at this point, I believe his motivation for wanting to fulfill the dream God had given him was not right. He wanted to fulfill it because he wanted to be the best. He wanted to be elevated. He wanted to be the answer to the problems around him. His motivation for wanting to fulfill his dream was not to be obedient to God, and it wasn't to elevate God. And that was obviously his actual purpose. Dave spoke to us about that last time, that our purpose is always about fulfilling God's plan for other people as well as ourselves. And that wasn't Joseph's motivation right now for wanting to fulfill his dream. And so there was stuff wrong with Joseph: judgmental, self-seeking, full of pride, lack of wisdom, wrong motivation. So God needed to work on his character. In order to be able to fulfill his dream, he needed Joseph to become a man after his own heart, a man who could represent him, a man who could lead with integrity. God had a purpose for him, and he saw his potential, but then he helped him to learn through his life experiences in the passage today and over the next few weeks. And so he was ready and able to fulfill that purpose when the time came. And just notice that God did not count Joseph out because of his character flaws. He chose him in spite of them, and then gave him opportunities to work on those flaws. And often when God's calling us into his purpose, he needs to work on us and to prepare our character for what's ahead. And he gives us then those opportunities to develop ourselves. A few years ago, I got to a really low place, and a place where I felt really overwhelmed. Loads of circumstances had just come together, and I was really struggling emotionally and spiritually. And then often, as does happen in these situations, because our body, mind, spirit are all connected, my body started to give up too. I had a really bad bout of tonsillitis, and then I just could not shake it off. I just felt under the weather for a really long time. My back was giving me loads of jip. I've got quite a history of back problems, and I was just spending loads of time having to just lie down because my back was really painful, and it was just causing me so much frustration. I was just grumpy all of the time. Paul was worried about me, and he was probably completely sick of me as well because I was so grumpy. And I had loads to do and loads I wanted to do at that time. We were going through our training for fostering. That's something I knew that we were called to do, that God had really spoken to us about, but it just seemed like it was one too many things, and it was just adding to this overwhelming sense. But the key thing in that time, the thing that was really, really bothering me, is that I had a real sense that God was trying to speak to me about something and do something in me, but I just didn't have the time or the mental space and capacity to hear him or to know what that was. There was a few months, actually, of this, and in the end, I just knew that I just couldn't carry on like this, and I needed to give God space to speak to me. And so I just had to down tools and take that time and reassess my purpose. And so I just had a bit of time out, and I said to people, I need to stop, I need to say no to some things. Not everyone would have noticed that I did that, but it was really important, and spent time with some trusted people to chat and pray, and most importantly, I just spent some time with God, allowed him to speak with me, work on me, change me. And God really used that time actually to work on my character. And it wasn't that he had this massive word for me or anything like that, it was just working on my character, and mostly actually on my pride. And that was the pride that had caused me to get into that situation in the first place, to think that I needed to be doing everything and solving everything, and that had got me a bit burnt out in the first place. And I was really able to reassess what God was asking me to do, and what I'd been doing out of my own sense of pride or self-seeking or judging that other people couldn't do that as well as I could. And I don't want you to get me wrong, I'm not perfect in this area still, and I still get it wrong and still get too busy. But actually a massive shift took place in me in that time, which was a character shift. And it took God taking me into a place of suffering, mentally, physically, in order for me to take notice of that and to receive the discipline and the working on my character in that time. And through the whole of that time, I always had that sense that God was preparing me for something, preparing me for a purpose. And it was towards the end of that time that Matt and Claire came to me and said, we feel that it'd be really great if you could come on the senior leadership team with me. And actually, at first, I had to say, hold on a minute, God's not quite finished, because I knew there was still a bit more he was doing. But I really believed that that's what that period was all about. It was about God preparing me for this next season of purpose in my life. I just want to take a minute for us to read a passage from Hebrews 12. It's actually the bit just after what Jill read to us this morning. It says this, if you want to read it, it's in Hebrews 12, 5 to 11. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, and this is from Proverbs, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who have disciplined us, and we have respected them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And that's just a really encouraging passage, I think. It starts off just saying that this is a word of encouragement, that we get discipline. And actually, that to take hold of that in tough times is really, really helpful, because God takes us through tough times sometimes. Not always. Sometimes tough times aren't because God's caused them. But sometimes he takes us through these times because he loves us, and because he wants to shape us, because he wants to make us more of who he wants us to be. And that's not because he stopped loving us or he stepped away from us. This passage tells us that it's because he loves us. God never stopped loving Joseph through these times of trial. He never stopped loving me through all of that time when it just seemed like a big mess. And actually, this passage tells us that it's for our good. It's so we can share in his holiness. I am up for that. Are you? And it's so we can reap a harvestness of righteousness and peace. That is amazing that God takes us through this. And obviously there's always shape for more work on us. We're never as God has intended us to be. Our character never is going to get there until we're in heaven. But God's always changing us from one degree of glory to another. And today, maybe you know that there's something that God is giving you a nudge on in your character, something that he wants you to work on. So why not give him that opportunity this morning? Maybe you're in a really horrible season where it feels like your dreams are not being fulfilled and you're not walking in the purpose that God's given you. Is there something that God's trying to teach you through this time? Something he's trying to change in you, work on in you, bring you to the place so that when that dream is ready to be fulfilled, that you are able to do it in the way that he wants you to do. Let's just take a minute to think about if there's anything that God's trying to show us in our character that he wants to change so we're ready to fulfill his purpose as individuals and as church together. And if there's something that's come into your mind when we finished, I really want to encourage you to get some prayer for that and get someone walking alongside you in it, because that's so important and it really helps us. And just to say as well, it doesn't always have to be a tough time that shapes our character. God wants to shape our character anyway, doesn't he? And actually in that situation, that story of mine, if I'd have been willing to listen to God sooner and hear God sooner and not just carry on as I was, because I knew that there was something he was wanting to do in me. If I'd have stepped back sooner and gone, come on, God, let's do this, I wouldn't have had to get into that crazy, terrible time and of suffering. I wouldn't have had to. And so actually, if we're prepared to be willing to cooperate with God, maybe sometimes there's an easier way than the suffering. But God brought Joseph into this time of preparation and suffering, and it was pretty horrendous. He was in a pit and sold to slavery. And then later we'll see that there was some other stuff that happened to him in Potiphar's house. And then he was put in prison. He really went through some tough stuff. But the good news is for Joseph is that he used this time and he did let God work in him. And there's evidence for that as at the end of Joseph's story, which we will get to, obviously. But in Genesis 50, he's speaking to his brothers, who he's been estranged from for all these years, and suddenly they're back in his path. And he says to his brothers in Genesis 50, God intended it all for good, and he brought me to this position. Can you see his changing attitude from the beginning of the story? Now he knows it was all about God, not about him. He was giving God the glory. His motivation for living the dream and fulfilling his dream had completely changed by the end of the story. He'd let God work in him. And actually, it went further than that. Just before that, in Genesis 45, verse 5 to 8, when he was talking to his brothers, when he was faced with them, what he said to them was, "And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." He was acknowledging to his brothers that it was God who sent him, not them. And this is really key, I think, for us to get hold of this morning in terms of our preparation, because it shows a really key part of Joseph's development and preparation was that God had brought him to a place of forgiveness. If we remember back to today's passage, what his brothers had done to him, they were unkind to him as a child, an innocent child, and actually it wasn't his fault, was it, that his dad had favoured him and that they'd started to hate him. But they'd been really unkind to him, they'd been hateful towards him, they'd been violent, they'd rejected him, they'd sold him, they'd lied about him, they'd covered their tracks. In many ways, Joseph had a right to be bitter, to be angry, to hold resentment, to be offended towards them, and even towards his dad too, maybe, for causing all of this by favouring him and buying him that wretched coat. But he wasn't. He wasn't bitter or angry. And in fact, in that verse 40, in chapter 45, he's at pains to let his brothers off the hook. Not just from his anger, but from their own guilt and distress. He said, "Do not be distressed, do not be angry with yourselves." And Joseph had, in this passage and in the passages to come, he had more than his fair share of opportunities to be offended. He faces in the next bit false accusations, unjust punishments in Potiphar's house. He was unfairly forgotten and overlooked by the cupbearer, and he would have had opportunity to fulfill his dream sooner if it wasn't for that overlooking. And often the tough times and the discipline that we face is actually caused by other people hurting us, and then us not being able to let go of it, and God teaching us through the hurt of other people. One of my key times of development in my life was during my first job after I graduated. It was a job actually with quite a lot of responsibility for a graduate. I was managing a lot of people and volunteers, but I had the most horrendous boss in that job. It was just absolutely awful. She was a bully. She didn't just bully me, she bullied everyone. It was horrendous, and those who knew me at that time just know how horrendous it actually was. She caused me so much suffering. Again, a period of my life where I cried a lot, self-examination, and I knew really all along it was her who was causing every bit of suffering in that job. And it was tempting so many times to leave, but again, I just knew that's where God had put me, and he was teaching me through it. He taught me so much about how to handle myself, how to handle other people, how to deal with the people I was managing in the light of that management towards me. It was really key. And I'm not saying God caused that person to be mean to me. No, that I don't believe that. But God used that time to prepare me. And often at those tough times and the discipline that we faced are caused just on the face of it, just seem to be caused by other people just being horrendous towards us. And that's what it was for Joseph, wasn't it? Like, it was just all these people are just being horrendous to me, and why is that, and what's going on? And we don't often see. A guy called Charles Swindoll wrote a book called Joseph, A Man of Integrity and Forgiveness. And there's a quote just going to come up about what he said, and he said this. He said about Joseph, "Here is one on the list of God's great. A life lived high above the all too common reactions of rage, resentment and revenge. Here is one who deliberately chose to overlook unfair offences, to overcome enormous obstacles and model a virtue that is fast becoming lost in our hostile age. Forgiveness." And Joseph models something that we can all learn from as we are preparing to fulfil our purpose, and that is to live free from offence and quick to forgive. Because when we're offended and when we refuse to forgive others, it prevents us from moving forward and it affects our whole lives. Joseph did not allow offence to overcome him, but rather he overcame offence. He did not allow offence to overcome him, but rather he overcame offence. He didn't allow the offence against him to become a stumbling block, but a stepping stone to learn and to forgive and get to where God was taking him to be. In life, we will be offended. People will offend us. But how are we going to react to that? Are we going to let it overcome us, or are we going to overcome it? And there's lots of evidence in the whole story of Joseph that he forgave his brothers long before he encountered them again. He didn't wait till he could say it, until he forgave them in his heart. And I ain't got time to go through all that evidence this morning, but I'm happy to talk to people who want to look at that a little bit more. I just want to highlight that the Bible is really clear that we do need to forgive other people in order to fulfill our purpose. Matthew 6:14-15 says this. It says, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And every time I read that passage, I go, oh my word. It just seems so harsh, doesn't it? And it seems a bit at odds with this loving God that we've got a picture of who forgives us and loves us and unconditionally. But that is not what the Bible says. He says, if we forgive others, then he will forgive our sins. It isn't an option that he gives us to forgive others. And unforgiveness blocks our relationship with the Father, because he can't forgive us and he can't move into that relationship with us. And if we're not in relationship with the Father, then we can't fulfill our purpose. In fact, we can't even discern what our purpose is, really, because as Dave said, we do that in partnership with God. It's God's purpose for us. And so forgiveness is key to preparation for our purpose. And actually, that is evidence that Joseph had forgiven before, because if he hadn't forgiven before, he couldn't have got to this place where he was for fulfilling his purpose, because that's how the Bible tells us that it works. Ephesians 4:25-5 verse 2 also speaks about forgiveness. It says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And there's three key things in this passage, I think, that we need to grasp hold of this morning. And the first is to know that we are forgiven. That passage says, just as Christ has forgiven you. And it's almost a bit of a throwaway comment, but we, in order to be able to live in this, we need to know the truth that we are forgiven by God. And if you don't know that this morning, let's just take a moment to try and get hold of that. That Jesus came to die for our sins, for the things we've done wrong, to take the punishment for us so that we can be free and we can be forgiven. And if we repent, if we come before God and confess our sins, then he does forgive us. We are forgiven. And that is the starting point for us being able to forgive. But the truth is, then we do need to forgive others as we have been forgiven. It's really clear. The Bible is really clear. We are commanded to forgive others as we have been forgiven. In fact, the Lord's Prayer says, doesn't it? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is not saying that what other people do to us doesn't matter. It's not trivialising the offence. It's not even letting them off. But it's coming before God and saying, I cannot handle this. But I'm going to choose to let these people or this person who's offended me out of the cage so that my heart can go free. And I'm going to entrust that person to you. And it's vital, because it's clear that unforgiveness is a blockage. It's one of the primary blockages to the grace of God flowing in our lives. It really is. We can't fulfill our purpose if we're holding on to bitterness, offence, and unforgiveness. But this passage in Ephesians goes one step further, and it says, so then, walk in love. And Dave Smith, in his book, describes this as taking a further step of deciding in advance to forgive people, even before I've been offended. And he talks about how a few years ago he just decided that this is what he was going to do. He was going to decide in advance to forgive people, even before he'd been offended. And he started each day by saying, God, help me to forgive anyone who might offend me today. And then he talks about how that just really transformed his walk with God and his walk with other people. He describes it as being able to forgive on the go. That as something happens, we go, God, I'm giving that back to you. I'm not being offended by it. I'm not taking that on. I'm just going to release it. so that offences aren't able to take root in our lives and prevent us from fulfilling God's purpose. I just found that such a helpful concept. And that's, it's not easy to not be offended, is it? It's really difficult. We live in a culture in our society of offence, of taking offence easily. In fact, even in our church and our churches, there's culture of offence where we're expecting to be offended, we're expecting people to be against us. But let's choose not to expect that. Let's choose to say, I'm gonna love other people, I'm gonna believe that other people love me, and if someone hurts me, I'm not gonna take that. I'm not gonna be offended. And it's really important to get alongside other people as we decide to do that, actually, as we choose not to be offended. I don't think I am someone who's really easily offended. I do tend to let things wash over me. I think my past has helped me to do that, because I've realised that all that time of feeling the haters hating, that I've realised that it's not about me. And I've become a bit more secure, but I still do get offended. I still do. And to be honest, often that's around my kids. If people are saying stuff about my kids or upsetting my kids, like, I take that on, and that's the thing that really often causes me offence. But I've got people around me who I know I can just go to and go, someone's done this and it's really made me angry, and they will come back to me and go, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't respond the way that you want to respond. Just choose not to. And so having other people around us just is so crucial to this, I think. So let's just take a minute. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion together, just as a response to believing that we are forgiven, that Jesus has died for us, and just an act of remembrance that we are forgiven. But first, I want to ask, do you know that you're forgiven? Maybe this morning it's the first time you've heard that you can be forgiven by God. Nothing or all that you have done, are doing, or will do in the future is too big for God to forgive. Nothing is outside of God's forgiveness. All we have to do is ask, God, forgive me. God is waiting. When we confess, tell God our sins, he will forgive us. This morning, do you know that you're forgiven? Just going to give us a couple of minutes to reflect on that. Is there something we need to ask God for forgiveness for? Something we need to tell God about? And do we need to take hold of the truth that when we do that, we are forgiven? Let's just take a minute. And secondly, are there people that you need to forgive? God might be bringing people to mind right now. Why don't you ask him this morning to help you to forgive that person, those people? Sometimes that decision is going to be all that's needed for you to be able to let that go, let go of that offence. Sometimes it might take more walking through with God or with others to help you to come to a place of full forgiveness. There's help available. Again, I urge you to ask for some prayer from someone today, or speak to someone you trust, life group leader. There's lots of people around who'd be willing to work with you. Are there people you need to forgive today? Is there a decision you need to make to forgive? Is there some action you need to take on that? That might be now, over coffee, or in the next few weeks. But if there's people you need to forgive, if you know that there's bitterness, resentment in your heart that's preventing you from fulfilling God's purpose, let's choose to let that go. And finally, are you walking in love? Could you make that decision today to decide in advance to not be offended, to forgive on the go, to not get bogged down by offence, to be quick to let go. If you want to respond to any of those, maybe we could just stand together now. Or from earlier, if there's something you know God's working on in your character and you want to respond to that. Can stand to respond to what God's doing in our hearts. And when we've got a prayer team this morning, when we move on to communion, maybe if you're on the prayer team, you could come first. Because then I want to just urge you, while people are taking communion, this is a really good time to ask for some prayer, to receive some prayer, to acknowledge that that might feel uncomfortable, actually, on this subject. But actually, when we're prepared to acknowledge God's doing something in our heart, then he will meet with us and he can use other people to help us in that as well. 1 John 1 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." As we come and take communion together, let's remember that Jesus' body broken for us on the cross, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So let's come. Be some music. Let's come remember through the body and blood of Christ that we are forgiven. If you need some prayer this morning, please don't leave without receiving some prayer. And this is the time to do it. There'll be movement anywhere. It won't be obvious, but just come, receive prayer. Receive God's body and blood as a sign of his forgiveness.